from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. I just want you to know I see you there, and I know you're having trouble sleeping, and I'm here to help. This podcast is definitely silly, but that's really the foundation of it, is that you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and I'm here to, you know, take your mind off stuff while you fall asleep. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And I cannot thank you enough, those of you that help keep the show going by either listening through the credits or going when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thank you so much. And these are the ways we keep the show going. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much.
He wanted to thank Lexi, who supported Cushy CBD, and Leanne, who supported Brooklyn. And you could check out all of our sponsors. Thank you, everybody, supports them. sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks. Oh, Mr. Bard, who helps out on the podcast?
Chris Post or some. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Mr. Bard, I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and whatever podcast app you use. It's free to subscribe. Just makes it easier to listen. I see about 10-15% of you aren't subscribed. It just makes it easier to consume the show. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's the thoughts, the feelings,
physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, situation, schedule. So, thoughts that are coming up for you, things you're feeling physically or experiencing emotionally. Whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off that. I got this safe place. I'm moving my hand now in, I think, a clockwise motion. Now a counterclockwise motion, smoothing. Now a right and like a side-to-side motion, smoothing, padding, and rubbing down that safe place that I've set aside for you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice, once you get comfortable, I'll already do it, but you could pause it and get comfortable, or go ahead and get comfortable while I talk, either way. But I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up, I'm one of those people, I totally get mixed up on purpose. Use filler words, oh boy, those, you see, how do you plan your filler words out, Scooter? Well, it's interesting, what I do is I fill a wagon up with filler words. And for real? Well, no, actually both, believe it or not, I do both in my brain. I find that if I tactilely do it in person, then in my brain, I might as well finish this metaphor out, huh? I was going to try to explain to the new listeners some things, but I take a wagon. Of course it's a red wagon. You know what? It's of course not. It's a purple sparkly wagon that was once red. But then I said, I always wanted something purple and sparkly. Yeah, with that glossy sparkle paint you'd see on a car in like that second Fast and Furious movie. I think that was the one to have a car, you know what I mean? Like those sparkles, glitter. No, it's not glitter. I guess it's a bit glittery. It glitters, but it's not glitter. That's what my wagon looks like. But it's also full of filler words. More than one. More than one on that wagon. And then what I do is once I get it really full to overflowing, but at least initially, and I don't know if this is Sisyphean or just, I call it my daily routine is what I call it. Sisyphus, if I'm anything like Sisyphus, which the odds are like, 100%, when Sisyphus' day begins, or the dude with the rock, Golong or whatever, I don't think that when they get to work, they have any idea. Maybe part of their brain does, because that's supposed to be like part of their thing of the bad place or whatever. But really, they say, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to have myself it's a regular day, and it doesn't really dawn on them. Or I guess me, you're right. I'm talking about you, but I'm really talking about me, Sisyphus. Oh, it's Sisyphus. It's not Sisyphus. Okay. Excuse me. Believe it or not, I was trying to make a metaphor about a wagon full of filler words before I realized, how similar our lives are. Oh, you're not I assume you got yourself in that situation because maybe there are life lessons to be learned here. I had no idea. What would you, if you could return to Earth, would you change your name to Sisyphus? Why would you? I think it's catchy. What about Sisyphus Z Sisyphus? Like, you could be, I think it would be good if you were a civics teacher, too. Yeah, like civics, or you could have a podcast. Yeah, civics. It would be hard to say, but I'm sure you'd be up for it. I'm just here, you believe it or not, here's the thing, Sisyphus, you're right. I'm here on a stealth mission. I just realized it, to take your mind off of stuff. And the rock person, Golong. I know that's not your name. It's a bit... I don't really know what Golong's name is. Also, no offense, if you're rolling a rock up and down, I'd think about changing my name to Golong. Well, no, not go along, Golong. I don't know how many I think you put an extra syllable in there. Golong's two syllables. Golong is kind of like 2.25 syllables. Sisyphus, I don't need to be told that there's no such thing as 0.25 syllable. See, did you see what I did there? Anyway, what I was telling everybody, well, now that I have the two of you here listening and I'm taking your minds off of stuff, I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm trying to make a metaphor about the podcast, which is usually structurally with the podcast, what to expect if you two ever come to my world and teach civics and roll. You could be a professional rock roller. Go long. I like saying go long. It really, it makes my chest feel strong and full. Go ahead and say it, go long. I know sometimes I accidentally say it and it sounds like go long, but it's go long. Like, just like you were hitting a gong. What's a gong? I think you've been chasing that rock too long. Oh, you don't chase it? Well, maybe you should change it up. When it rolls back down, chase it. Okay, but anyway, I was trying to explain with the new podcast listener. Structurally, the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free. And then there's an intro where I ramble for about 12 to 15 minutes about nothing, kind of. I mean, pretty close to what we're doing now, to take people's mind off stuff, kind of introduce them to the podcast, if they're new, but then a regular listener, they kind of decide how they want to listen. Some regular listeners wind down to the intro. A small percentage skip the intro. Other listeners just start playing it before they get in bed. So there's a variety of ways to use it. You could fall asleep during. You're right. Sisyphus. Okay. Why don't you call yourself a correctivist? Sorry, I was really trying to tell people about my wagon that I fill with filler words, thank you, correctivists. That could be your, like, when you're correcting papers for your civics class, you could go into that role. Then it would be okay to be correctivists, whatever, okay. I've always had issues with teachers, even when they're imaginary characters from Pandemonium or wherever you're located. Oh, you're not in that. Okay, so the new listener, if you're listening still, sorry, I've got a little distraction here. The intro is just a long, rambly intro to the podcast, but it's part of the show, and it's part of help you wind down. Then after the intro will be a little business, then the story, which will be about 40, 45 minutes. Then there'll be some thank yous at the end of the show. That's the structure show. If you're new, a couple other things to know. You don't need to listen to this podcast. You can just kind of barely listen. If I ever get to the wagon metaphor, it won't make any sense. But I guess it's not that different than watching. Well, I guess if you were watching a kid with a wagon and things were bouncing out of it, you would probably intervene and say, hey, kid, you're losing your cookies or whatever. What are those called? The Funbot 2000, you know, are those mega blocks falling out of there? So let me help you. Or is that for your, you know, lemonade stand? Are you losing all your lemons? I guess in that case, if a kid had a wagon full of lemons and you were in a high lemon area, that might be the only time you wouldn't intervene, where you'd say, well, it's okay for the kid to lose a few lemons. That's a life lesson. Life, trying to make lemonade out of lemons and also losing, I've lost my lemons a few times. What I was saying is you don't need to listen to the podcast. You can kind of almost passively consume it if you wish. Though some people listen, you can choose as you get to know the show what works for you. But also, there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are an hour is I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. So you just fall asleep at your leisure. I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boy-bay, your boy-cuz, your boy-sib, your boy-bud. You know, be at your side, chitter-chattering away, and helping you drift off. So that's structurally what to expect. You don't need to listen to me. And yeah, I'll be like, a lot of the content of the show feels a little bit like words falling out of a wagon. And if I was an adult with a wagon full of words, and, you know, and ahs were both, I mean, I would assume ums and ahs and uhs and ers are pretty compostable anyway and are easily swept off the sidewalk by a gentle breeze. So if you saw me going down the street, also they're only 2D. So once it falls on the pavement, you know, it's not a, they're 2D. And they have a lot of traction, so not a something you have to worry about stepping on or something. You would probably just let me keep going if everything's bouncing out of my wagon. You'd say, "There goes Scoots. Too many ums, too many ums and ahs. So many. I've never seen a wagon full of pregnant pauses, but that may, you know, if you did, you would pause. I can't even imagine. The images that are running through my mind are very cute." You'd say, like, that would be interesting if I walked up and down the street with a wagon full of pregnant pauses. And everyone would pause. They'd be like, "Holy cow, that is the cutest thing I've ever seen. What is in that wagon?" "Well, it's a wagon full of pregnant pauses." Oh, boy. It, with one pun sitting on the back of it. So, a winky, winky, winky poo. But so, I don't know what, I guess I thought there would be a meta. Let me just check back in with Sisyphus and Golong. Oh, they're sleeping. Perfect. You talk about conquering myths. I mean, I don't want to apply for any awards, but at least those two, when they come hang with me after, because also, if you two could wake back up, everybody else is asleep, including the people that were keeping an eye on you. And the mechanisms, so we could just jump out of here. I got a wagon. Okay, go along. And so you two get in the wagon, I'll pull you. Great, I got Sisyphus and oh, no. Oh, you're not, you really are Golong and Sisyphus. What about Sisyphus and the other, everybody in the wagon. So I'm going to pull them out of here. But basically, if you're new to the show, give it a few tries. That's what 99% of reviewers and listeners I hear from say, that it took them two or three tries. Because one, you're skeptical. If you have trouble sleeping, of course you are. Who declares they're going to be here to put you to sleep? Not me. I'm going to be here while you fall asleep. Or if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here till the very end to keep you company. But also, it's just the show's a little bit different, so it can take a little bit of adjusting. If you can't sleep, like if you try the podcast a few times or you're finding you definitely don't like it, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. And you can see some options there. And I think that's it. I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. Oh. I don't know what's cuter, Sisyphus and Golong curled up in a wagon together as I pulled them along, or a wagon full of pregnant pauses. You'll have to decide that. But I'm here. I work very hard. I appreciate your time. I yearn and I strive because I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of things we do to keep the show going. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody, this is like a, this may be the first legendary unboxing we've ever done, and also the first unboxing. We haven't done a lot of unboxings on this show, and I don't even know what's in this box exactly. It hasn't been opened yet. I unwrapped it before I came in the climbing closet or the Harry Potter closet, and I also brainstormed what I was going to call this. Now, there's two kinds of versions of this. There's AD&D, and then there's D&D, which stands for drooling and dungahees, but despite what other people will tell you. And this is the starter set. So it's just straight up D&D, which is actually like your entry into this game, drooling and dungahees, which is reversed from like the more pop culture. There's a pop culture game, or a game that's a cultural phenomenon for the past like 30, 40 years. That is a place and then a being. This one is drooling and droolers and dungahees, which I'll talk about how I got the title. But I'm holding the box here. The box is about the size of a coffee table book and about the thickness of it. So it's not an extremely heavy box. And there's a lot of popular podcasts that are versions of this called actual play shows, and a lot of amazing people, you know, our good friend Justin and his wonderful brothers, they have a show. I don't think the current season, currently I don't think they're playing D&D, but they're playing, you know, they have an actual play show, The Adventure Zone. There's also a lot of other amazing podcasts I've met out there. There's also the Broadswords, which is an all-women actual play D&D podcast focusing on role play and narrative and diversity at the gaming table. And I had a chance to meet some of the people from the team at PodCon, and they were amazing, amazing people. They also had an amazing booth. And you can find them at, you can search right in your podcast app or go to thebroadswords.com. So those are just two options for your D&D. This will not be an actual play. This will be just a barely play. I guess I got to do some more. Well, I guess we could go as we go, because there's actually, like, this is topical in some sense. I didn't realize it. Now, you say, Scooch, what made you decide? Why do you have this? Oh, thanks for saying. Why do I have this in my hot little hand? Because I'd love it if my hand was hot, so hot. Well, it was on sale, $5, and I said, this could be cool. I don't think me and my daughter could just play D&D together, I don't know. Like, plus, for me, I didn't play a whole lot of D&D because I was the oldest of six kids, and I was, like, chaotic in general.
Yeah, I guess this is going to be a lot of Memory Road stuff in addition to unboxing. And believe it or not, I have a couple books that I've been holding on to that, you know, if this works, we could go through more. So, okay, so let's go back to the box. We'll see what this leads. But hopefully I'll talk about Dragonlance novels and, oh, my cousin who designed his own. And again, I guess I owe him an amends, well, multiple ones anyway, because he had actually designed his own role-playing game based on James Bond. Sorry, I guess I'll bring it up now. Sorry, John, if you're hearing this. Or Abby or Betsy, you could tell John. Well, just remind me to apologize to your brother. But he had designed one summer, and he was very excited about it. And I'm not the best person to, if you're enthusiastic about something, I'm working on this. I guess I've been working on it my whole life thus far with interesting results. And I do wish I had a time machine because I would have been excited now. But he had designed his own James Bond-based or spy-based game based off of D&D and the rules of D&D, or maybe AD&D, which just stands for advanced, which just means more complicated, maybe more math. And sometimes your memories are like so crystal clear. I can remember because we were in Pulaski, New York, and we were sitting at this table where we tended to play games. And I think he tried to get me and my brother he kept explaining to it because he was very excited. And he had, like, different vehicles. A lot of people do this, and it takes a lot to design your own game. You know, different character traits and different things. And we may have played it for, like, I mean, this is something you have to commit to, like, either a campaign, but, like, it flourishes best when you're doing it on a regular basis. And so, what was my point? My point was, did I have a point? Oh, I'm sorry. Because he was really excited about it, and I don't think we played it very much. At the time, I mean, just like now, my thinking tends to detract me from things I would be enthusiastic about. And I say, well, I got other things I got to think about school. You know, we're on break from school. I got to think about school. Sorry. So I missed out on a great opportunity to play that game. And I guess that was just my point. But it was cool. Like, so these are adaptable and inspirable rules, I think. And eventually I'll talk about some of my other memories of D&D. But so the cover of this game, now the reason it's called Droolers and Dungahees, you might say, Scoots, is a lot of the beings in there are drooling. And it's called drooling damage. Like if you have any pet-like animal that is drooling for, this one just happens to be some sort of in the universe. Well, there's like the parallel existence, I think, and then there's the universe, maybe. All wild beings or semi-tame beings have the propensity to drool and spittle and stuff, and you can get drool damage. Obviously, there's a lot of different ways, like ruining your clothes, slipping, you know, tons of different things. Now, this is also indulging in a fantasy world. So on the cover of this game, he's a giant turtle that, like, the biggest turtle you could ever imagine, and so cute. So, a green turtle, its head is coming out of its shell, and that's dominating it. And it says D&D starter set, age 12 plus. And there's even drool and drool vapor coming out of the turtle's mouth. The turtles, I think they call it a maw, not on a turtle usually, but like meaning the turtle's mouth is spread wide with a smile, huge, huge, huge smile. Oh, so huge, the smile of this turtle. And then a character who looks like a knight. Again, this is based in a medieval style world, you know, a bit like a game GOT, which maybe I'll try to release this episode right around the start of the GOT season. So this is a knight. The knight is wearing both plate mail and chain mail. And then the knight has a shield, which in this world you used to deflect, especially giant drool. I mean, we're talking about a creature. This turtle is the size of, way bigger than a school bus. I'm trying to think of what a, like just a turtle's head is probably the size of a school bus. So it drooling on you. Wait, school buses aren't really a thing anymore in a lot of places. But a bus, a city bus would be another one. I mean, this thing is the size of like buildings, like 2 or 3 story apartment building. And it's beginning to drool on this knight who has a beard. Also something, I believe the knight's wearing a cape because something's flowing off the back of the knight. They look to be in a forest. I don't think it's a forest of feelings. That's where the Care Bears live. This doesn't have any, I wonder if anybody ever came up with a Care Bear role-playing game. How come, like, you know, we gamify everything? Here's just a thought, just, you know, free idea, if you're going to, you know, until you monetize it and then give me like 80% of the money. You know, if you could get the rights to make a Care Bear role-playing game, then base it on actual healthy practices, you know, establishing resilience and assertiveness and health, like those kind of things. But in a subtle way, you know, not on the nose, like, you know, then, and to feel your forest of feelings, like all those feelings. This could be something I'll work on. But then it says, droolers and donkeys, everything you need to know to start playing the world's greatest role-playing game. And one of these things, this thing's famous for is just the art. Now, I don't see a credit for the art on the cover. Now, the side of one of the boxes has, it says starter set, and it says Droolers and Donkeys, registered trademark. And then it has two characters. I guess, I'm going to try to go through this game without assuming genders of characters. But these are two characters. One seems to be a cleric holding a staff. And one hand outreached in a kind of robe. And so I'm not sure, it could be a magic user. Then behind that character, possibly, like it has, a character is floating in the air with flowing white robes and the hair of the character's flowing. Pointy ears, so it could be like a spirit-based being or another spellcaster, but I would assume, and also the moonlight seems to be reflecting off of both characters, and it does look like a cloudy, moonlit sky. I don't see a moon, but that character does seem to be, one finger is like being held in like a okay symbol, but possibly casting a spell. The two ends of the box, so the short sides of the box, they just say starter set. And then the other side has a, what I'm guessing is a dwarf in very heavy plate mail, which is a thing, in a giant shield. Looks like it might be looking over at the turtle or something else, holding a hammer. And I know dwarves are known for being very strong, but this is like very heavy plate mail, very heavy helm, meaning made out of some sort of metal. Then the hammer is very big, and then a very, very big shield. Like, I don't even know what you call those kind of shields, but gigantic. Okay, now, when we flip it over, is the backside of the box. In the backside of the box says, explore subterranean labyrinths, plunder hordes of treasure, battle legendary droolers. And it says, the Droolers and Donkeys starter set is your gateway to an action-packed stories of imagination. The box contains the essential rules of the game, plus everything you need to play, heroic characters, and a journey, an adventure in worlds of fantasy. And it says game components. It comes with a 64-page adventure book with everything the DM needs to get started. The Dungahee's Master. The 32-page rule book for playing characters levels 1 through 5. 5 pre-generated characters, each with a character sheet and supporting reference materials. And 6 game dice. Also, I think we do have a 20-sided die. Now, when you're ready for even more, expand your adventures with the 5th edition Player's Handbook, Dungahee's Master's Guide, and Drooler's Manual. Then it has a being, a drooling being on there, which it seems to be a giant version of like one of those hairless, I don't know, what are those usually, dogs that are hairless? Or a naked mole rat. I'd say probably like a giant naked mole rat. Though it does have some material in its, but it's standing on 2 legs and yawning, saying, I think I'm going to go to sleep now. Below that, it has some details from maps from the game. Then it has the box that I'm holding in my hand. And then a nice spread of like the materials inside. Let's see what these credits say. Here's a website. I wonder if I paid $10 or $5 for this. It suggests a retail price in 1999. Oh, yeah, Wizards of the Coast. It was a different company. And I don't want to talk about the company or the people behind it just because I don't want to look like I'm making light of it or anything. So, you know, you could do all that research. Okay, so when I open the top of the box, the first thing I see is the dice, which we'll have something to talk about right away. Then there's the adventure, it looks like. Lost Mind of Phandelver. Oh, and the characters. Oh, this is interesting. Cool. So this gives us some good descriptions here. It's Fan, P-H is F, right? Phandelver, Lost Mind of Phandelver. And behind that is all of the art from the cover and the sides of the box combined. So you have the drooling turtle, who's even bigger, because you can see his shell, because you can see the turtle's shell in this picture. They seem to be in some sort of place with like an older place that's a little run down. I see some pillars. The turtle's actually, one of the turtle's paws is on a pillar. There looks to be a ton of treasure, maybe a waterfall in the back left. And then the characters. So we have the dwarven character. We have the knight blocking the drool. What looks to be mist from, there also seems to be some sort of magical casting going on of a drool shield between one of the other two characters from the other side of the box. And it seems like the one character with the flowing robes is not necessarily floating in the air, but maybe standing on some stairs. I open the dice. I did want to. So these dice have the color. They're colored in. I remember I got AD&D probably for a birthday present 1 year because mostly I was obsessed with the storytelling and the art of it, and I never really get to play a lot of D&D. But I do remember when I got my dice that you're supposed to color the dice in with a crayon and then wipe it off with a tissue, which I didn't understand. Somehow my brain, and I think my cousin, the same one I, showed me or kind of said, this is why I do it. I said, no, I don't want to do that with my dice. It just makes them easier to read. But these dice seem to be painted. So it looks like we have a 12-sided die. Does it have a 0? Would it be? No, because then there's a 8-sided, which would be a 9-sided die, because it has a 0. Oh, no, this might have more than that, because it has a 9. It also has, okay, that's how you tell the 6 from the 9, eh? So I guess this is a 10-sided diamond die. Then we have a 6-sided die. All my dice are a blue, black, kind of shimmering, like almost like a faux obsidian. I don't know. They seem to be made to be painted that way. Then we have another diamond dice that's eight-sided, like four on each end of the diamond. With the marking so you know which six is up or down. Then we have a triangle die, which I get. Oh, no, I guess it's a four-sided die. So whatever's pointing up, you have one, two, three, or four. But you can read it from all sides of the pyramid die. And then, oh, the famous 20-sided die that everyone talks about or jokes about. Really cool in this light. It really has good reflection. I know listeners have sent me dice in the past. And then, so in the rest of the box is the lost mind of Phandelver, which is the thickest and heaviest thing. Then is the starter set rule book. Starter set rule book is a close up of the same art from the box and from the cover of The Lost Mind of Phandelver. And then are some stat sheets, including the ones, they don't have names, but including the pre made ones, which I guess we'll read through at some point. That'll be fun. And it doesn't look like they have any blank ones, which I know is always fun. Making your character usually takes up the whole time of, like, so that's, like, another thing of why you got to really commit to playing the game. Yeah, but since I have the characters in my hand, so the characters don't have a name. I was thinking before I recorded this, I was like, think of a character name real fast, Scoots. And my brain said Dirk Bathsalts. And they said, it's a little on the nose, but I do like it. So let's see. Let's just read through this. This character is a cleric one. That's a class and level. It's a soldier. It's a hill dwarf, and it's neutral good. And it has a 14 in strength plus 2, 8 in dexterity minus 1, a 15 in constitution plus 2, a 10 in intelligence. I think this dwarf is less dexterity. Its dexterity is lower than its intelligence, but wise, though. So not super intelligent, but wisdom is 16 plus 3. It's his strongest characteristic. And its charisma is a 12 plus 1. It has a 13 in passive wisdom. And again, I don't really know a lot about this stuff. It has no inspiration. Plus 2 proficiency bonus, and then its saving throws are, that's what I just listed. So I guess those numbers, no, that's not true. Its saving throws are plus 2 for strength, minus 1 for dexterity, plus 2 for constitution, plus 0 for intelligence, plus 5 for wisdom, and plus 3 for charisma. And then also some other things it has. In acrobatics, it's a negative 1. Animal handling, that's a part of wisdom, plus 3. Maybe these are skills that they've learned. Arcana, 0. Athletics, plus 4, that takes strength. Deception, oh dear, what kind of neutral good, but it's plus 1. History, plus 0. Insight, though, that's due to wisdom, plus 3. Intimidation. Oh, because of the charisma, huh? Like, this is a charismatic character, plus 3. Investigation, plus 0. Medicine, plus 5. Nature, plus 0. Perception, plus 3. Performance, plus 1. What happens if you have performance anxiety? Is that a negative? I ain't even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, in front of a crowd. Persuasion, plus 1. Religion, plus 2. Sleight of hand, minus 1. Stealth, minus 1, plus a star, and getting by, plus 3. Other proficiencies in languages, all armor, shields, all simple stuff, things for chopping, hammers, playing cards, mason tools, and land vehicles. Speaks common in dwarfage, stone cunning. Whenever you make an intelligence check related to the origin of stonework, you are considered proficient in a history skill and add double your proficiency bonus to the check instead of your normal proficiency bonus. So this dwarf knows stone. 18 armor class, minus 1 initiative, speed is 25 feet. Its drool points are 11. Its drool dice is 1d8. Let's see what it's currently carrying. A hammer of what is it good for, which is a plus 4. And then it does a 1d8 plus 2. And then also has a chopper choppy, which is a plus 4. 1d6, though, plus 2. It can also throw that choppy choppy poo. Like, if you wanted to, like, there's those bars now where you throw them up to 20 feet or up to 60 feet with disadvantage on the roll. Cantrips, you know, light, sacred flame, some kind of like metallurgy, but thaumaturgy, and cast them at will. Descriptions are found in the rule book. Because it's a cleric. It has plus 2 first level spell slots. You could prepare 4 first level spells to make available for you, choosing from the cleric spell list in the rule book. In addition, you always have 2 domain spells prepared, Bless and Cure. Equipment, chainmail, but that is what's bad on dexterity. Shield, hammer, 2 of the cutty poos, holy symbol, a backpack, a crowbar, hammer, 10 pittance, 10 torches, a tinderbox, 10 days of rations, water skin, 50 feet of rope, mason tools, a pen thing, a deck of playing cards, common clothes, pouch, and a rank insignia of a sergeant's. Personality traits, I'm always polite and respectful. Also, I don't trust my gut feelings, so I wait for others to act. Ideals, respect. People deserve to be treated with dignity and courtesy. Wow, we're in the same ballpark here. Bonds, 3 cousins, Gundren, Tharden, and Nundro, Rockseeker, who are my friends and cherished family members. I secretly wonder whether the gods care about mortal affairs at all. That seems to be something that comes up in D&D, spellcasting ability. Wisdom is a spellcasting ability for your spells. Disciple of Life. I don't want to read everything word for word out of here. There's also a whole back page I didn't realize. So really a lot of details. And these other characters, let me just run through. And the next person's a noble human, lawful neutral. What do they do? Like, what's their thing, though? Oh, fighter 1. Very strong, 16 plus 3, not much dexterity. Constitution's high, 15 plus 2. This isn't a smart group, 11 plus 0, but wise, 13 plus 1. And charismatic, 14 plus 2. Let's see, this person's got a plus 5 in athletics, plus 3 in perception, plus 4 in perception or persuasion, plus 2 in performance. So this is like not a super dexterity so far. Low dexterity, high wisdom, high charisma. They have a speed of 30 feet. I don't know what that means. 17 armor class. They roll with an axe and a javelin, which they could throw 30 feet. They also have a chainmail. That's why they can't do anything. They have a second wind. They have a limited well of stamina they can draw on if they need it. They can be defensive. Thanks to their noble birth, people are position of privilege, inclined to think the best of you. Welcome in high society. So, noble. Personality, My flattery makes others feel wonderful and important. I don't like to get dirty, though. And it wouldn't be caught in unsuitable accommodations. Responsibility is my ideal, to protect the common people. Roll with my ex, which is a family heirloom. And this person is a flaw. They have a hard time resisting the allure of wealth, especially gold. Looks like they're looking to restore some legacy. And next up is a Rogue One, Lightfoot Halfling. So they have very little strength, 8 minus 1, very high, real high dexterity, 16 plus 3, constitution's 12 plus 1, intelligence 13 plus 1, low wisdom. So this is like a kid, 10 plus 0. But again, high charisma, 16 plus 3, so a likable group, very high, plus 7 in stealth and plus 5 in sleight of hand, plus 5 in performance, look out, plus 3 in investigation, and plus 5 in deception and aerobatics. I think so. They can sneak, 14 armor class, 25 feet. Personality, I don't have a plan, but I'm great at making things up as I go along. Loyal to my friends. Bonds, Quaylene Elderlead, my aunt, has a farm in Phandalin, and I gave her, like, I always give her cash, but also once was a member of the Red Brands. They can speak thieves can't, they're lucky, brave, nimble, naturally stealthy, can talk to the, like, the seedy sailors and the such. So that's a rogue folk hero. What the heck? A fighter one, human, lawful good folk hero. I hope they're a folk singer. Very strong, 14 plus 2, very dexterity, high dexterity, 16 plus 3. That's the same as our rogue. Constitution's high. This person's got everything. Constitution, 15 plus 2. Not smart, or, well, 11 plus 0. Wisdom, 13 plus 1. Not likable, though. They're folk hero, but their charisma's 9 minus 1. Let's see what they're good at. Animal handling, their dexterity. Good at history, plus 2. Perception, plus 3. Stealth, plus 3. Sleight of hand, plus 3. Let's see what else. They have SWORD and a bow, leather armor. Yeah, when I set to my mind to something, I follow through. Sincerity is my ideal. Bonds, one day Thunder Tree will be a prosperous town again, and a statue of me. This sounds a bit like Gaston. I mean, Gaston was Gaston's own folk hero. I'm convinced of the significance of my destiny and blind to my shortcomings. That's my flaw. They have rustic hospitality because they're folk hero, because they're common and they can hide out among them. They also have a second wind. I'd like to know what the heck they did to be a folk hero. Trying to see background. From Thunder Tree, east of the city of Neverwinter, but nearby Mount Hotten now erupted a while, 30 years ago, and they drifted from village to village. But they've been in Neverwinter for the last few years as a porter, and it's clear to you and everyone around you that you're destined for much more. Well, they want to be a folk hero, I guess. Well, good luck with that. This one's funny. Wizard 1 and high elf. Are they high all the time? They're an acolyte, chaotic good. And let's see, they're not strong, no offense, 10 plus 0. Dexterity's pretty good, 15 plus 2. Constitution's 14 plus 2. Intelligence is zappazoo, 16 plus 3. Wisdom, 12 plus 1, and charisma's 8 minus 1. So they could probably hide in the background. 5 on Arcana. You know, that's magic type stuff. History and insight, they're good. +5 in investigation. +3 in perception. +5 in religion. Let's see. Cantrips. They know mage hand, prestidigitation or something, frost ray, grasping poo, and they can cast them at will. They have two first level spell spots, four, just like very similar. So they could pick out of there. They use polysyllabic words that convey the impression of erudition or whatever. I can also, I spent so long in the temple that I have experience, little experience dealing with people on a casual basis. Knowledge, the path to power and self-improvement is through knowledge. The tome I carry with me, they're writing their own biography, it turns out, and they want to uncover historical secrets. They can see in the dark for 60 feet. They don't need to sleep. They can just go into a meditative trance for 4 hours a day. They can't be charmed or put to sleep. And they're a servant of the Ogma. They can perform the rites of that. They could also probably stay there for free. Yeah, visit the temple. Let's see. What else we need to know about them? They've been, that's the all-seeing god of knowledge. That, of course, the name I can't pronounce, so that's embarrassing. They're chaotic good because their pursuit and acquisition of knowledge is for the benefit of all, and they shared freely. So that's a little bit about them. They're an elf, which is an otherworldly grace, living in the world, but not entirely part of it. So the rule book, let's just run through some of the art. Oh my goodness, jackpot. As soon as you open up the rule book, and I definitely remember this picture, there's a group, there's two elves, they're around a campfire. You're definitely like a warrior type, a rogue type, a halfling type, somebody like a wizard, somebody like the warriors are looking right at me, and a dwarf that's sound asleep, and they seem to be the wizard type. There's somebody with a staff, like with real fancy robes, they seem to be making a speech about something. And the rogue character seems to be warming their hands. Then if we go even deeper in, it shows like when people are dealing with the droolers. So we have one knight type character dealing with two puppies that are kind of trying to drool. Some sort of elven, maybe more of a, with a little cat type of thing in there, dealing with droolers and trying to distract the puppies with, by playing fetch. Then on one side of the painting is some sort of spellcaster with something blue, kind of like Jedi robes on, and a dwarf. Dwarfs are very popular. This dwarf has a gigantic beard. Chapter 3 opens with some art. Another dwarf. This dwarf has a, what is it, beard? When you do that with your hair, not a ponytail, but braids, braided beard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 braids. And they kind of seem like they're going down the stairs. Dwarfs in the front. Then another warrior type, rogue or some other, whatever those dexterous things are, and then a caster in the back with like a glow stick. And he's real cool, flowing white robes with a hood, which I like, in like a leather, brown leather. So another kind of Star Wars-esque level character. There's also on some pages like little pieces, like there's one with like a lantern, a rope, playing cards, and a sharpening tool. And maybe a map behind it. Chapter 4 does talk about spell casting. And we have a blue-fleshed creature in a blue or a gray-fleshed creature with blue, dark blue hair and a two- or three-tone blue robe, casting a spell next to a kind of a giant old log and really working hard at it. Oh, I just saw one of the words I couldn't pronounce. Let me see. Let's see. Sleep is a first level enchantment. Casting time is one action, 90 feet. Components you need are V, S, and M. Pinch of fine sand, rose petals, or a cricket. Duration is 1 minute. The spell sends people into magical slumber. Roll a 5d8. And the total is how many hit points of the drooler's this spell can affect. Creatures within 20 feet of a point you choose within range are affected, increasing order of their current points, ignoring ones that are already sleeping. Starting with the being that has the lowest current points, each one falls asleep until the spell ends. Oh, it only lasts 1 minute. Where's that predict designation or whatever? Probably in P. Yeah, here it is. It's a transmutation cantrip. I don't know if that's cantrip. Prestigitation. A minor magical trick that novice spellcasters use for practice. You can do one of these. You can create a sensory effect. Well, this is pretty cool. Or an odd odor or musical notes. Light or snuff out a candle. Clean or soil an object. And sounds like they're a blast to be around. Clean or soil an object. Chill, warm, or flavor. That's what it says. Up to 1 cubic foot of non-living material for an hour. That'd be good if your kid chewed their nails or something. Make a color, a small mark, or a symbol for an hour. Create a non-magical trinket or illusory image that can fit in your hand and last till the end of your next turn. If you do this multiple times, you can have 3 of its non-instantaneous effects active at a time. And you can dismiss such effects as an action. Okay, let's finish up with this guide to the lost mind of Phandelver. It's 64 pages, so we really have to get into the weeds. We'll just dig some of the art. Oh, boy. So we got an overall map, which shows north, south, east, and west. And the west side is a coast and a coastal city, Neverwinter. And the high road runs north and south through Neverwinter. If you head south, like on the high road, you reach Leilon, L-E-I-L-O-N. And then you head in between the mountains down to the M-E-R-E, Mare. Maybe another C. It seems like a swamp that the road runs along. Also in the south are the Sword Mountains, the Cryptogardian Forest, Kryptgardian, is behind the Sword Mountains. Looks pretty hard to get to. I think somebody was from Phandalin, or maybe that's where the whole game takes place. There's Wind Echo Cave, Ice Spire Peak, Werven Tor. These are all in like little foothills, maybe. Old Owl Well. Good old Owl. I'd like to go there. Then if you go back up to Neverwinter, there's a river flowing through Neverwinter that heads east to Thunder Tree. Then there's a giant forest, Neverwinter Wood. So in the center of the map, but south, this is a hex map, is Cragmaw Castle in the middle of Neverwinter Wood. Whatever the river is, really spreads out. It looks like it comes from a couple different mountains and hills. There's Agatha's Lair and the Tribor Trail. Agatha's Lair is on the edge, just in case you want to visit her. It's the eastern edge of southeastern edge of Neverwinter Wood. And Coneyberry is near Agatha. Then there's this, all the way on the east side of the map is the Star Metal Hills, the center east. in the central north are the crags, and then like where Neverwinter Wood is split south of the crags by Mount Hottentot, which came up with somebody's history. And there's also an unnamed forest to the west and north of Neverwinter Woods in the Mount Hottentot and the crags. And this is where the adventure begins. There's also the Cragmaw Hideout, which is in some of the, like, crag somewhere inside. There's briars, there's a bridge, there's an escarpment, there's a river running through it, indoor river, with where water moves fast. There's rubble, there's stalagmites, there's handmade steps in the stone walls, and also supplies, which I don't want to give away. One square does equal 5 feet. There are NPC party members, but they might only join the party for a short time during one of these adventures. Then we have a nice painting of some mushrooms. And on the other side, we have some, I don't know what kind of creatures they are, but they're definitely droolers. They seem, they're pointing at something. They're in some crags. The crags are carved with giant turtles. Oh, no, wait, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and there's a sixth one up in standing on a tree. So they seem to be looking around to do something. Then we have a fan. We'll finish off with, hopefully you dream about visiting Fandalin, because it does look nice. From the south, the miner's trail leads in past a few farms, there's one on the left, then another one on the right, another house on the left. As it rolls into town, there's Halea's house is near one of the farms. Then there's the Fandalin Miners Exchange. Then there's a woodworker right there, not long after you get into town. Lenine's home is there. There's the Lion Shield Coster, which may be I don't know, is that what do you call it, like a place where you hang? Miner's Trail splits up into town. You could stay in there's Harbin Wester's house. You could go visit Harbin. There's the Elderly Farm. I think that's a farm-to-table restaurant. There's the Town Master's Hall, you know, if there's any official business. On the west side of town is the Town Green. There's the Eldermath Orchard. Holy cow, if you're there in apple season, do yourself a favor. Go to Eldermath Orchard. Do some apple picking and then follow it up. Sister Gracali's house is there. And there's also a Shrine of Luck. You really want to just visit that. There's also a smithy on that side of town and kind of the northern central town. And the Tribor Trail heads out of there. Past a few more farms. There's also Barthen's Provisions, which is like, they have these like gobstoppers there, or whatever you call them, some candy to suck on. A great place. And Barthen actually lives behind the shop. There's a Stonehill Inn, which is a nice place to crash. But if you have time, make sure to go over to Sleeping Giant. That's where all the locals hang out. And, of course, looking over the town is Trasendar Manor, where the rich people live, I think. And, I mean, there's a lot more adventure just in this kit. So it's like, if you see it on sale, you know, definitely do it. Like, then you could get into AD&D. I did not get a chance to talk about Dragonlance, but I have talked about it on the show before. But I have actually been reading, because Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman are just, I don't know, those novels just meant a lot to me when I was in, 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. And I may have reread them, like, once or twice, including, like, in my 30s, when I was going through a really hard time. And they offered me the same escape I had when I was in my angsty youth. And I just reread, I don't know if I reread them, but two of the last three Dragonlance novels they published, which were kind of as I think they included the original characters, but like what they were doing in between the main three books. So that's just a little bit about me and D&D and a little box opening to get you in the fantasy mood. Thanks. I want to thank everybody, most everybody that reviewed the podcast. Remember, if you don't like the podcast, your first stop could be, well, if you're listening this far, sorry about that, sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. But everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts, Forecast, Gray. Oh boy, was it, because they said grating voice. He slurs his words and does not enunciate his words properly or use punctuation. I find it infuriating to listen to. I'm curious to see if you, where you are in the world, if it's a difference that you could tolerate this diction. I'm pretty sure this person also sent me an email, which I deleted after reading two sentences of it. Sorry, but I did take some glee. Yeah, I'm sure it's a nice person. Well, I guess you're wrong. That was nice of you to say and assume, but his ramblings are far from relaxing. So there's that one. I guess I revealed, you know, I mean, this is part of the podcast where I could be just a tiny bit passive aggressive. Just to release it, you know, we're at the end of the show, we're releasing all this energy. Sweden will sleep with you, though, Scoots. Whew, you're kidding me, right? 84 Annas will from Sweden. I fell asleep with the pod. I like it. Here, this is interesting because this is someone's last name who just has a newborn, and they have the same last name as my sister-in-law does. But I'm going to say their first and the first initial, J. Last name 33, but they're from Canada, and this helped their colicky baby. After two nights of it being not easy, I thought I'd try a podcast since it helps me fall asleep, and the difference is night and day. She slept as soon as you put her down and stayed asleep. Thank you. That's probably from testing the stuff out of my daughter. Thank you comes in, or great, thank you for your work comes in from Riona. Thank you. From the U.S., LS 917. Started playing this at bedtime last week. My husband and I love it. Derek says it's the best thing that's ever happened for his sleep. Thank you, Scoots. Thank you. Kit from Canada says it's a delightful distraction. I've been listening to podcasts for about a month. Within the first three nights, I became a subscriber. Within a week, I was a patron. Wow, it's quick conversion rate. Scoots has a talent for replacing my own internal monologue with a delightful distraction. His creaky dulcet tones and meandering tangents are the perfect opportunity to this nocturnal busy brain. Jess the Bean says, bored to sleep in a good way. Thanks. Within 5 minutes, I'm out like a room. Big Papa 88. I love it when they call me Big Papa from Canada. Says, best sleep buddy. The best podcast that helps me fall asleep. Steals Trains of Life from Canada. Well, a lot of Canadians. Thanks, Canadians, for reviewing the show recently. They say, thanks for the podcast. Dislikers, back off. Chill and read the description. They're very defensive of me, and they say, geez Louise. So thanks, Steel Train. Thank you. Cat Lover 853 from Canada says, wow, just wow. I was in bed, decided to look through sleep podcasts. None of them worked till I found this. This is rare. They only listen to one episode and they feel like they fell asleep straight away. Usually they fall asleep after two or three other podcasts. So that's a total testimonial. The Lisa Sky from Australia. Wow, we're really getting international reviews are pouring in. So beautiful, they love it. Sound Only Finally. That comes from Kimmy Claus. Spelled like Santa Claus, but it's Kimmy. Who says, I've always slept with the TV on, never mastered the art of going to sleep in silence. But TV, you know, keeps me up. Or it could wake me back up. This podcast put me to sleep in 5 minutes. I didn't even figure out what he's talking about. Now I listen every night. Don't ever stop. Kate Mikey says, sleep with me, Scooter. Brilliant podcast. Makes me laugh. Ed's listening for added bounce in the afternoon. Oh, they want to work with the Cogent Realtor. That's good. So I'll put you in touch with them. 11 months till decade's up. I'd have to re-listen. I forgot about it. Sometimes, you know, the times I'm witty, my brain erases those things. But yeah, the Cogent Realtor is available for closings. And once I know what Cogent means, other things. 9 is the best number, says a skeptical till I tried it. Sleepless Aussie, amazing, works wonders. Mandy, insomnia cure, 15 minutes and it works. And I think I read these other ones. H-Apps says a genius. That was nice. Oh, honey. Yeah, remember that one. Most annoying podcast I have ever. Oh, honey. But those are the ones that put you like, you're power. You really do have power with this stuff. That's why I created the no thank you thing. You know, because after that, I do have to get, you know, when I see one of those things, I do have to get in bed for a little while. Pull up the covers, no matter the time of day. But I can laugh because it's true. And then I guess I have to, like, that's part of my toolbox. Well, let's get, like, who would have thought that I'd get to the place where I'd say, well, let's get in the fetal position. That's what's healthiest, the healthiest move right now. It feels good. And I hope you're feeling good. Sleep With Me is a listener-supported podcast. Listeners that directly support the show on Patreon and that directly support our sponsors are what make this episode possible. You know the way people find out about Sleep With Me? Y-O-U-U, just naturally sharing your natural experience with the podcast naturally, in nature. You know, don't feel the need to do it in nature, but so there's that, and we're part of Night Vale Presents, amazing collection of podcasts over at nightvalepresents.com. And have you checked out Adventures in New America yet? Well, if you haven't and you're listening, open your podcast app right now and check it out. It's an amazing, amazing podcast. And you can find it, Adventures in New America, in your podcast app or at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And that's it. There's plenty of other episodes, so I'm here to help. All right. Okay, you know, get me going right again. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.